One God, three persons? Is that even reasonable? Is it biblical? Is it important?
Pastor Chris Rosebrough talking about his presentation at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Yeah, have you ever thought about the doctrine of the Trinity and said, you know I was taught about it in catechism, but I'm not even sure how to defend it from Scripture? Well, don't worry. At this year's Making the Case Conference, I'll be making the case for the doctrine of the Trinity. We will have an open Bible, and we'll look through how the biblical passages demonstrate that the one true God exists in three eternal persons.
You can watch Pastor Chris Rosebrough live or on demand at the Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. The $135 registration fee includes the ability to watch a live stream and a recording. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Dear Lord, let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul. Amen.
Congratulations on your command.
Always be looking for you, Evie. Even if I'm 1,000 miles away.
Air escort to Greyhound. You will now be out of range of air cover for the next 5 days. Safe travels to England. How many crossings does this make?
This is my first.
I got some.
Most likely a U-boat.
He's trying to slip under us! Fire!
We have a kill.
Distress rocket, sir.
We have hits directly on the convoy.
The wolf bag's haunting us.
U-boat, starboard bound!
In 48 hours, we've lost 7 ships. And 50 souls.
What you did yesterday got us to today.
It's not enough. Not nearly enough.
That's a trailer for the movie Greyhound, not in theaters because theaters are mostly closed, on Apple TV. It's starring Tom Hanks, Hollywood royalty. We're going to be reviewing that movie on this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of July, with Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
So Tom Hanks not only acts in this movie, stars in this movie, he actually wrote this movie, at least in part. How has he progressed as a script writer, a movie writer, since, what was it, 1996, That Thing You Do?
Well, it's not, the script is not exactly something that I'm super happy about when it comes to this film. There's a lot of things we can talk about when it comes to that, but it's not a very long film, and it could actually be longer, and maybe that partly is because of the script writing.
So spare, would you use that word?
Very spare.
So is this going to be kind of a battleship movie?
Yeah, that's the main thing. So it's crossing the Atlantic, the North Atlantic, 1942, as we heard in the trailer, and there's 5 days where they're not going to have any air support, so that's pretty challenging.
All right, then, give us the entire story, such as it is, of Greyhound.
We find a captain Krause, and Captain Krause is basically he's a career Navy officer, and he's been working for years, kind of, this is what they kind of give you at the beginning. He's been working for years, and he's kind of, they imply that he's been passed over, but he's finally now getting his first commission to be a captain. And he wants to marry his girlfriend. She, you know, doesn't think now is the right time for that. And then he is deployed, and he's crossing the Atlantic for the first time, shepherding this convoy of troops and supplies out to Europe, basically. And so even though he's an older man, he's doing this for the first time where all of the responsibility is on him.
Now, as a war movie, this isn't Tom Hanks' first war movie. There's Saving Private Ryan, and I think there are several others as well. How does it stand up?
Again, so this is where we need to dig into it. Like, this is, there's a lot of things about this film that people are going to really, really love. And I was pretty excited about seeing it. And when we sat down, and I'd heard from people who'd already watched it, because it came out on Apple TV Plus on the 10th. And so, you know, I was pretty excited about it. And I sat down and watched it. And then I thought to myself, wow, it's only 91 minutes long. And then... And then as I'm watching it, I'm like, well, this is the reason why. It's because it really focuses just on the captain, pretty much almost entirely. And all the rest of the crew, you don't really get much about them. So it makes it kind of hard actually to care about the crew members when some of them die and things like that, because there hasn't been a lot of characterization to build them up as characters. So this is where, even if you think back to a movie like 1917 that we talked about, which is a World War I film, that film, I mean, they didn't have a super amount of character development in the traditional sense. A lot of it was like a situational character development. But by the end of it, you really cared about, you know, the central character. And you didn't even know exactly who the central character was when it started. So in this case, you know exactly who the central character is. And it would help to even care about him more if you cared about some of the people around him. So you could kind of think of it like a triangle. If you're one point on the triangle, the captain is another point of the triangle, and like some crew member has to be the other point on the triangle, so that if you can see how... who that character is and know that character and how he looks up to the captain, and then you get the interior life of the captain, now you have something that you yourself as a viewer can latch onto. And it seemed like that was something that was missing. Now, I've not read the book that it was based on, this C.S. Foster book from 1955, but I did a little bit of looking to figure out some things about the book, and I'm not sure if in that book some of the characters around the captain are more fleshed out. There's one character that you get a little bit more. There's a cook, basically, who's constantly bringing him meals. And that's the guy that you kind of desperately want Tom Hanks as a scriptwriter to give you more about that character so that everything would kind of click better. So, you know, as to your original question, it's like, It's a really technically interesting, well-made movie in terms of all of the battle at sea and the action and all that kind of stuff. It's really great. But a lot of that can kind of end up ringing a little hollow if you don't really care about the characters in the midst of their situation.
Is there enough? I mean, Tom Hanks is a tremendous actor. There's no doubt about it. Is there enough in his character to carry this film? Because it sounds like you're saying not quite.
This is one of these movies where it's a good movie. And because it's a good movie, you can see the potential for it being a great movie, if that makes some kind of sense. So, you know, like, there's just more that you want. You're left wanting more from this. And because it's 90 minutes long, you know that it could, like, easily this could have been a 2-hour film. I mean, there was another half hour worth of potential things you could do with this story. And, you know, every time you thought, okay, so they're going to do this with this story, they don't do it. And it's just doggedly focused on him. And he has a good performance. And all of that part is good. It's just a little, thin, basically. And I don't know if that's because of the budget. Like, that might be the case. Like, you know, I looked into this. It's a $50 million budget, just over $50 million. And, you know, if you show the inside of a U-boat, that's going to be expensive. You have to add on millions of dollars as soon as you start to show the inside of the U-boat and the U-boat captain and all of this kind of stuff, right? So I realize that, you know, in terms of budget, you know, they probably save money while writing the script. But comparably, like I mentioned, 1917, that's a $95 million movie. Or a movie like Midway that came out in 2019, that's a $100 million movie. And you can see that, like, you know, Midway has got a giant cast of characters, lots of characters, a lot of like recognizable actors in it, and they all come with price tags too. So I don't know exactly why it is the way it is. Like, I'm not privy to how it is that it had a $50 million budget, or if it could have had a bigger one, and if that would have meant a different film. But if you kind of just weigh it all out, because you're asking about, like, how does it compare to other films, like these kind of World War II films or war films, and I think that's part of it. I'm guessing that that is part of the whole story.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Greyhound. When we come back, we're going to talk about the explicit and implicit Christian theology found in this war film. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Matt Walsh, Chris Roseborough, Greg Kokel, Hans Feeney, and Katie Faust at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. The $135 registration fee includes both live and on-demand viewing. For more information and to register, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385.
Your church's chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, their glitter is shedding, and they're held together with toothpicks. Now is the perfect time to replace them with Adcruzman's Christmas in July sale. Participating artists have discounted their products, so stock up on jewelry, crucifixes, art, church banners, music, greeting cards, and more. Discounts range from 10 to 50% off. Visit us at adcrucem.com to take advantage of the sale. That's adcrucem.com.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The COVID-19 pandemic has caused many Christians to ask about whether or not the government should be telling the church when and how to gather around our Lord's gifts. In the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Christopher Thoma takes up this question in his article titled, Executive Orders, Divine Command. To read this excellent article and more about the church's life in the midst of a pandemic, subscribe to the Lutheran Witness today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are reviewing the movie Greyhound. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. The theme of the August issue is religion and politics and contains columns from Issues Etc. guests Robert Benny, Corey Moss, Joel Bierman, Matt Harrison, and Gene Veith. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Learn more at cph.org/witness. the Lutheran Witness Magazine, cph.org/witness. There are a couple very clear kind of Christian signposts in this film. One of them is a prayer. Another is a Bible passage. Tell us about those two.
Well, how about we start with the prayer? So there's, it's actually kind of interesting how they do this. It's bookended. So the film starts early on in the film. You get the captain, Krauss, praying an abbreviated version of Luther's morning prayer. And then at the end of the movie, after everything is kind of done and he's finally going to go and have some rest, before he crawls into his bunk in the captain's, chamber there, he prays an abbreviated version of Luther's evening prayer. So that kind of bookends the film. And of course, that we heard in the trailer at the beginning of the interview, and people, like particularly Lutherans online who saw that, were like, they recognized what that was and were pretty excited. But it is an abbreviated version. I thought maybe in the film you'd get the full version of these prayers, but it remains this abbreviated version of it. And looking into the book a little bit, like I said, I hadn't read it, but in the book, this Captain Krauss is the son of a Lutheran pastor, which explains why he would be praying those kind of prayers. He is also a guy who prays before all of his meals, and you'll see like the crewmen kind of stop silently and wait for him to finish praying before, you know, they start to talk or make any movements or whatever. They kind of stand at attention while he's praying, but he prays silently. And as a Lutheran, you almost expect that if it wasn't going to be a silent prayer, that he would be praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let these gifts to us be blessed." Like, and it would be kind of strange to see that in a film like this, but that's the kind of guy this guy is. And people respect him. It's designed in such a way, the film, that it shows their respect for him, and they know that he's a Christian. So that's all kind of the kind of prayer element of the film, which is really kind of interesting and great to see. The other thing you'd mentioned was asking about a Bible verse, and like in his quarters, there's a little card with a line drawing of Christ on it. And it's the Hebrews 13, 8 verse, you know, the same yesterday, today, and forever, referring to Christ. So that is a big part of the film as well, because it is the sort of thing that he's trying to emulate as a captain, that he wants to be stalwart and steadfast and dependable and not different from yesterday to today to tomorrow. Like, he wants to look like Christ in that way, and his faith is modeled in that way as the character. That's what you're getting in the film.
There's also a burial at sea. How is that depicted?
This is the thing that happens, and I'm very curious as to what the book has when it comes to this. But normally, you would have a padre do it, and they don't have, like, the ship should have a padre. They don't have, it wasn't like the padre was one of the people who died. So, you know, that, like, in actual and real life, that's what would happen, right? So in this case, and I suppose the captain could do it, but in this case, it's the captain who does the burial service, basically, who reads the readings, says the prayers, presides over the burial, which is great and interesting in terms of character development and to further cement the fact that this is a Christian captain of this ship. But this is the thing you find in movies and TV like so often, where you have your main character and they have to find something for the main character to do at the funeral. If there's a funeral, if somebody's died and there's a funeral. So often what they do is they have them do a eulogy. I'm kind of convinced that this is one of the reasons why people are so, like, there's kind of an expectation maybe that we have to have a eulogy, because when I watch a TV show or movie, the main character always does the eulogy when there's a funeral. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I think that it's one of those things where they've swapped out the padre and they've put in the captain for the reason of character development, which is fine. I mean, he has had a lot of character development. He's the only one that's had really character development in the film. So they could have had a padre do that, which would have been more authentic, but they chose to have him do it, which is fine because it really cements his character, like I was saying. But it is one of these kind of peculiar things.
There's a less explicit or maybe only a Christian would see it, in one of the scenes where Hanks has been on his feet for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, all of a sudden you start to realize that there's a physical toll to him being on his feet for this many hours and not sleeping and not eating and like and being completely focused in on the work of shepherding this convoy. And it's starting to have this physical effect on him. And at one point he asks to have his slippers brought up from his quarters, slippers that had been given to him by his girlfriend, played by Elizabeth Shue. And when he goes in to put them on, he's bleeding, his feet are bleeding through his socks, and there's like bloody footprints left from, you know, where he goes to sit down to put on the slippers. And this, like a Christian watching it, when you add it all up together, you start to see this sort of emulation of, or kind of pointing towards, Christ's passion in the crucifixion, you know, like this, the physical toll of it, the endurance in that, and, you know, the bleeding for those around him. So this is a kind of another way to kind of, and I think that some viewers might not notice this, but I think the Christian viewer that's paying attention and thinking of scripture in relation to what they're looking at may pick up on that as a kind of a sacrificial element of his character that could point towards Christ.
So finally, Ted, you said earlier that it's a good movie with the potential to be a great movie. In your opinion, what would have made this movie, Greyhound, a great movie?
Another $20 million. I don't know. Like, I think it, not just like just in general, but like $20 million that they spent, like further developing some of the characters. I think that if you took like the XO, or you took like one of these guys that were like on the bridge crew of the ship, or if you took that guy who worked in the kitchen and like cooked him his meals, and you gave a little bit more, or even if there was some concluding scenes or something, there could have been a kind of a patch between him asking Elizabeth Shue's character, his girlfriend, if they would like to get married, and him actually setting out, because he mentions this going to the Caribbean to do some practice maneuvers and stuff and final training to take on the commission of being a captain. And I think that you could have done some things there, even if, like often in biopics, you can have flashbacks to being a kid. Maybe if it was back to being a kid and like him, his dad being the pastor, there are a bunch of things that you could do both on the ship and in his character where you could have fleshed it out further. And I feel like that's what's kind of missing to make it a really great film, particularly the character of Cleveland, the guy who works taking care of the meals, because they have this kind of real connection. And what happens with that character is that you're expected to care about this side character, but it's only so that you more care about the central character, and it would be better if you could care about both characters. This is what you kind of needed, I think.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You'll find a link to his movie reviews on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Old Testament prophet Elijah with Dr. Kevin Golden, and we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about Christ coming to fulfill the law in Matthew chapter 5. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd.
What have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.